This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All right. And folks, don't forget to smash the hell out of the like button while you're downloading, watching throughout the night or weekend or any time. You download any of our segments, please smash the like button. Cameron Wolf, sir, how are you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, man. I am doing great. On vacation, talking with you, talking a little ball. I'm actually in Cabo right now. Wife took me for a birthday celebration. And so talking a little ball, and then we're going to start our day.
Happy late birthday. Your birthday was yesterday. Yes, so you can now drink, right? You're 21 now. Is that the deal?
Yeah. That's it. First drink.
It's about time, bro. Jesus. You know, you've been doing it illegal for a long time now. Now you can actually take out a real ID, those fake IDs.
Absolutely.
You get rid of all those fake IDs, bro.
We can cut them up.
Yeah, man. During your hanging out in Cabo, were you able to catch the Mike McDaniel interview?
Unfortunately, I was not. Part of this trip, my wife separated me from my phone and my work so I can truly relax. So I did not catch the interviews, but I did see a couple of like highlights of the clips of some of the quotes he was saying about Tua, and just kind of getting him to believe in himself and knowing that he's got the perfect quarterback for his system. I did see those quotes just kind of scrolling through Twitter.
Well, he said he's the best quarterback he's been able to coach. For this system.
Right?
That's some shit right there, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it backs up what they've been saying publicly, right?
Right. Like, and that's the other thing in that conversation that he said, we're sitting on a gold mine. Like, you know, and like the way he talked about him, you could tell that I think you understand this part. It hasn't been Greer or McDaniel that was out of the Tua thing. This was the owners that were, you know, Bruce Beal and influencing Ross to go after Brady. And then it was the former coach that wanted Watson. It really wasn't, you know, the trifecta of your front office or the new head coach. And so these guys, everything they've said has been exactly what they have done. They have been committed to the guy. And if you listen to McDaniel, my God, he was in love with the kid right from the get-go, yeah. Right? Once he started watching film, he was caught. He was done.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And he said this part before, but just like I had to convince him that he was good. He had never had the coaching that wasn't like negative constructive criticism. Like, it was always that. So he never really viewed himself in the light that McDaniel saw him. And so the one question I always got from people over the last year is like, what changed, right? Because everybody saw over the previous year how it seemed the Dolphins were trying to look at other options, whether it be Deshaun Watson or whether it be, you know, Tom Brady, and they got lost a first round pick for talking with. So what changed? And McDaniel changed. McDaniel was the big change in the organization, and that he viewed Tua in a way that the previous coach and a lot of people within the organization may not have viewed him. And so, you know, a part of why Tua had the year, a large part of why Tua had the year he did when he was on the field, was McDaniel's belief in him. And a large part of why the Dolphins have been unwavering that he's our quarterback, that we're going to pick his fifth-year option earlier than anybody picks up their fifth-year option to show him that, is because McDaniel's belief in him. Now, there's still the big avenue that Tua's got to stay healthy to prove it all right, but that seems to be the only question left. And it seemed McDaniel, even before Tua had this breakout year, knew that this was in him. And even the most, you know, ardent Tua supporters, like, you are a big Tua supporter, but I don't know if even you predicted him to have as good of a success on the field as he had, you know, this past season.
Well, remember, I've called him a lefty Joe Montana.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So
trust me.
Maybe
what he
not you.
What
maybe
he
most to a supporter.
What he's done. What
most to a supporter.
Right. What he did now, he just scratched the surface. I'm expecting more from him. I'm expecting a title from the young man. So, you know, the lefty Joe Montana will get it done. So I'm a crazy maniac, bro. I have way higher standards for that kid. Cam, I'm convinced he's a pure passer, bro. And those kind of dudes, they are priceless in this league. Yeah, when you can place the ball wherever the hell you want and you have that accuracy and that intelligence and that anticipatory skills, to me, that's what makes a quarterback. And and he's dedicated and he's intelligent and he's, you know, he has all the traits, man. He just has that injury stuff that he has to kind of figure out, you know. And if he can overcome that, I have never doubted his ability. That's the difference between me and others. You know, I can question his durability, but his ability, I think it's exceptional, bro. Yeah. I really do. And you know, it's Shad thinks it's shtick. He thinks I'm all shtick about this. He thinks at times, do you really believe this about him? I'm like, bro, I get you don't, but I do. I'm sorry. Yeah. I believe the kid's a damn player, bro. It's just the way it is.
I've said it before, but Tua, to me, is the most polarizing quarterback. From what the perception is for people who truly believe in him and people who hate on him, since probably Tim Tebow, you know, Tim Tebow was for a different reason because he had
different polarizing,
and some people were, you know, but like Tua, like you could talk to one person who will tell you he cannot complete a pass 15 yards or he should retire because his brain's in mush, right? It's one of those two takes that you hear from the most hater, and then you have people. Who are on the other end of the spectrum, like you, who think he's going to be the lefty version of Joe Montana. And, you know, on the field, you were closer to right than they were. But when he was hurt, some of the naysayers go there. And so I think he's such an interesting prospect, particularly because, like, if you know Tua's becoming more personable. But naturally, he's not a big headline drawer with what he says and everything. So for this guy to be like one of the most two or three most talked about players in the league is just such an interesting thing for me to watch, just given who he is personally. But once again, he becomes one of the key stories of this season upcoming. Everybody wants to know, okay, one, in the main and really the central question is, can he stay healthy? And if he does, then the secondary question is, can he repeat or improve what he did last year? And if the answer is yes to both of those questions, then not only do Dolphins fans have a potential top five quarterback, they should be a championship contender. Because I think that is really the last step for them is, can your quarterback stay healthy? Can he repeat a Pro Bowl level of play? If he does that, then there's no reason why we aren't talking about this team as one of the best three or four teams in the AFC.
Are they done in free agency? I know right now you're kind of hanging out in Mexico having some fun there, and you're not much of free agency right now. But what do you think about the Dolphins in free agency?
I was about to say I've not talked to anybody in the last 60 hours about free agency, and so maybe there are some happenings that are happening in the U.S. of A., but I do not know about them. I am completely shut off from all of that. I think I told you before, this time of year, you're coming out of the league meetings, you'll see occasional signings like Calais Campbell, for example, just got signed from the Falcons. That's a substantial signing that happened after the league meetings, right? And so you'll see a few of those. Doesn't mean the Dolphins are involved in that, but you'll see a few of those. I heard they were in the mix for Irv Smith, but, you know, he wanted to go to the Bengals. And so, you know, you kind of just take your swing at maybe one or two guys, but if not, I don't know that there's going to be a lot more until after the draft. And so I think McDaniel talked a little bit at the owners' meetings about the offensive line and how everybody wants the upgrades there, but they don't intend to spend, you know, double-digit $1 million on another offensive lineman. So anybody waiting for that big splash offensive lineman is probably going to be disappointed. I think they end up maybe signing a depth guy either before or after the draft, and then everything else is – geared towards a draft, finding maybe a tight end, maybe finding an offensive lineman, maybe a running back, maybe a, you know, a linebacker or a safety or a corner. They've got a lot of different spots they can fill. And like I said before, they've only got four picks. I'd anticipate them doing some trading back where they can get that number up to like six picks, something of that sort, so they can, you know, make a few more swings at depth position. So I think for the most part, you're looking at the structure of the 2023 Dolphins.
So let me ask you something, because I've asked all the guys, and I know you, the last couple of days, obviously, you have better priorities right now, you know, enjoying yourself there, and I get it. But, dude, what the hell's going on with Brandon Schell? Because none of you can answer this for me. Like, he doesn't sign anywhere. He's available. So he played well here, man. He did all right.
Yeah. So I can tell you, like, from a reporting standpoint, I talked to people about Brandon Schell before I went on vacation, and I was told they had not had any conversations about, as far as with the Brandon Schell's team, about what it would cost to get him back. So that has not happened. And so maybe, so like that, that's from my understanding, and it surprised me given how well he played. So like maybe they saw something different, or maybe they're targeting another guy. I don't know, but it surprised me to hear that there have not been. It's not like, because I think I told you before, sometimes it's like, hey, maybe Brandon Schell wants this number and they aren't there yet. But from what I understand, there hasn't even been that much of what would it cost to get you back conversations at this point. And so maybe that changes. But right now, I haven't heard much in that respect.
Okay. All right. That's kind of strange. Out of we're all watching from afar. The Lamar Jackson thing just continues on a really ugly path. I almost feel like we're headed for a long holdout.
It does seem that way, right? He announces that he requests a trade at literally the minute that John Harbaugh is scheduled to speak at the owners' meeting. Very strategic. He's clearly trying to send a message. He's clearly not happy with things. And the Ravens, essentially, they don't really see any purpose of competing with themselves. There's no offer sheet out right now. There's not another team that is offering to trade for him at this point that I know of. And so it's like, hey, we've given you our best offer. It is what it is. Or, you know, we're kind of staring at each other like the Spider-Man meme, you know, who's going to move first. And I think this is going to be a rough offseason. I think the Ravens and Lamar are going to have a lot of more of these difficult public squashes, and I don't anticipate them being there for OTAs and mini camp, and then training camp will be the big question. So it's tough to build a team, especially where you have a new offensive coordinator and your main cog is not there. So maybe one of the two sides bends, but right now I don't think that this is going to end well. I think either somebody's going to get sour and make a rash move that, you know, you can't turn back on, or we're looking at a holdout situation.
I love how the world changes, because, you know, I've been doing talk radio for a long time, and so you use songs and you use movies and you use shows and moments in life as reference points. And now we also use memes.
Yes.
I'm laughing because the Spider-Man meme, and
some things are best described. Like, you think about the Spider-Man meme, where it's just like,
it's perfect.
That describes what I feel like they're doing at this point.
Perfect. Like, it was perfect. But it's funny how memes are a part of our culture now.
Right.
That, like, you know, unless you live under a rock or something, you're 80 years old and you don't ever on social media, then you won't know what the hell people are talking about when they tell you the Spider-Man memes.
Right, but I mentioned it to you. I didn't even show you a picture, and you immediately got
it. Oh, no, I know it right away.
And I hope that maybe not the whole audience, but I hope most of the audience, when I said that, they're like, I got it. I visualized that in my head.
We lost a few people, because you always lose a few people. But
you're trying to get most of the crowd.
It's just
most of the crowd.
It's just
for people who don't realize, the Spider-Man meme is literally two Spider-Mans looking at each other, pointing at each other. It's kind of like the joke on social media of you look like me, or I act like you, or you make a move first, that sort of thing, because we're the same. And so that's the reference there, where, hey, we're at a stalemate with Ravens and Lamar, and they're like, hey, you first. And it's just, it seems like nobody wants to be the one who backs down.
Yep.
And yeah.
It's going to be interesting. All right, the Rodgers thing, when does it happen? What do you think? Because it's got to happen.
I think it'll happen sometime before the draft. So we're about 4 weeks before the draft. I'd say it happens sometime before the draft. My guess is probably the week of the draft.
Okay. All right. Yep. Should be interesting later on this afternoon, or maybe tomorrow. A colleague of yours should be releasing some information. So
interesting.
Yes, interesting. Very interesting. All right, we will enjoy your trip, my friend. We'll stay away from that one. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Be good. There you go. Cameron Wolf, baby, with the KSDT CPA Sports Business Report. Why don't you bring up the one with the one screen for KSDT? We've got the QR code for you, folks. Listen, man, you've got your taxes coming up, business, personal. Call the great people at KSDT. We got offices in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Even if you live outside of the Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, you probably can just call them up and get your taxes done. You don't really need to sit in front of somebody nowadays anymore to get all this stuff done. But reach out to the great people at KSDT CPAs. They know how to get it done. Right there, you got the QR code. Use the QR code. Support the amazing sponsors that support our platform. And they do it all. They can help your business grow. They can help you with payroll. They can help you with personal stuff when it comes to your taxes, wills, whatever it is that you need to do. I mean, they do so much. It's endless. Go to KSDTCPA.com, find out, and give them a ring. 305-670-3370.